for the Airport Committee meeting 3rd of October 2013 open. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners, the Kerry people, who's saying we're on today. Alright.
Jan, I was back to you.
So, recording of attendance, we have the Mayor, we have Councillor Jacob, Councillor Gillingham, Councillor Hunt, Councillor Hudson, and committee members, we have Serge, Florence and Dr. Kenke, all present. No apologies, nil. Approved leave of absence, anyone like to approve? Apply for approved leave of absence? Is it the end? Oh, sorry, it's nil. Approved leave of absence. Alright, get to the bit we've been waiting for. 2.4 on the agenda is the election of a presiding member and a deputy presiding member. In the past we've called that the chair, so it's just some terminology we've got from the department, so it's the same thing. Section 5.12, Schedule 2.3 of the Local Government Act 1985, Act requires that a committee elect a presiding member. 5.12, presiding members and deputises of election. The members of a committee are to elect a presiding member from amongst themselves in accordance with Schedule 2.3, Division 1, as if the reference in that schedule. Members of the committee may elect a deputy presiding member from amongst themselves. So we'll deal with the presiding member first. So do we have any nominations for the presiding member?
I nominate Councillor Jacob.
I've got my nomination here. If anybody else wants to nominate, I've got some nomination forms here, so I can just pass them around.
So who was this? Yes, I know this one. Yep. Gloria Russell, are you okay with being nominated as presiding member?
Thank you, Russell. I did send an email.
Acceptance form here?
Yep. So, thank you.
Nominating. That's great. Thank you. I accept the position.
The nomination.
The nomination.
You're getting ahead of it there, Gloria?
Yeah, I accept the nomination.
So there's no other, no one else is electing to be presiding member? So we don't need to have a vote, do we?
No.
All right. Councillor Jacob, you're elected as the presiding member of the Airport Committee. So I can now hand over to you to elect the deputy.
If she wants to, otherwise
you can refer back to myself.
No, that's okay. I'm happy to. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Fine, thanks.
Thank you very much, everyone, for the appointment. I will work hard to make the position one that is that will bring the airport community benefit of some sort. So thank you for your confidence and faith. Okay, we move on to item
4.2.2.
Are you there, Gloria? We're just losing you a little bit.
We move on to item 2.4.1, part 2. Do we have a call for any nominations for the position?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Jan Gillingham.
Thank you, Julie. Any other nominations? I believe we have an email nomination for Ken King, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's right. Jan, do you accept your nomination?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I will accept your nomination.
Yep. And Ken, I'm assuming you're accepting your nomination?
I'm happy to accept that nomination, thank you.
Okay. No worries. So, Russell, how do we go to the vote for this, being that there's two nominations?
So we'll need to hold a election, as we have two.
And
we are just, through the chair, we're just preparing the election forms, which will be distributed to each elected member. Committee member will vote. Every vote is secret. The fact that the chair is actually in attendance via way of teleconference, we have discussed this matter with the Department of Local Government, and their advice was that we will have to interrupt the teleconference, and that the Director of Engineering will have to give you a call, and you will have to advise the Director of Engineering of your vote, so then he will include that vote in the ballot box on your behalf, and then every vote will be pulled out from the box by the Director of Engineering, and majority rules.
Thank you very much, Jo, I understand. Everyone happy with that process?
Yep. Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, I move on to calling the elections for the position of Deputy Presiding Member.
So just so everyone's clear on this, there's two people to choose from, being Councillor Jan Gillingham and Dr. Ken King. Do we want to be able to, so you can do your vote, put it in the box?
Yeah, we'll just do one by one. So it's
yeah, and then...
Do you want to show here?
No, optional preparation.
Good.
Don't make it too popular. Start that home for the
I'll get everyone to do this vote first. So, if you want to go up one at a time, just do your vote and put it in the box.
I want to please hold it so we can then give it out. Councillor Jacobs, Russell, are you still there?
Yes, I am indeed.
I'll just call you on your mobile to get your vote. You heard that, obviously.
Maybe Councillor Jacob, you need to move away from the landline, obviously, when you have the conversation.
Yeah, I got the joke.
Actually, I don't have your mobile number.
That's it, damn it.
Is it?
Yeah. Yep, no, we've got it, Gloria.
Hang on, sorry, it's under I, important people, sorry. Thank you.
Read them out to you.
one for Dr. Ken King. One for Councillor Jan Dillingham. Another 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 one for Councillor Jan Dillingham.
You got it, 50%. Yes. Hold on.
Thank you. One for Dr. King King.
Nothing from me, thank you, Madam
Chair. Sorry, Serge, I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
Demurg.
Okay, and Mayor Kelly?
Just wondering, did someone formally respond to, is it Michael Jennings, the principal of the School of the Air? Because he sent us an email and had a number of concerns. I was just wondering that someone did get back to him and have a chat.
I'll refer that to the director, or is Mal there? Mal's not there, is he?
No, I can't confirm at the moment whether someone did respond or not. Sorry.
Through the chair, I have had conversations with Michael Jennings, and he is involved in our workshops this week. However, nothing formal in the form of a letter has gone back to Michael Jennings, but we're certainly engaging with him on an ongoing basis.
Can we do a letter to him, Madam Chair?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's an appropriate action. Should the letter come from the chair or the council?
It'll come from the town, from staff. We'll write a letter to... Was there a written response from Mr. Jennings for us to respond to?
He emailed us. It was quite a lengthy email.
Oh, okay, yeah. As long as we've got an email, we can put that in records and then we can respond. So, yeah.
I passed it to the CEO and the CEO said that someone was going to respond, but...
Okay.
Through the chair, I'll get that letter sent to Mr. Jennings.
Fantastic. So that's an action. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm lost as to who else is there. Is there anyone else? Russell, can you assist me to go around the table, please?
Councillor Butson.
Sorry, Lorraine, yes. Any questions?
Yeah, through the chair. Has the 2012 and 2013 monies from BHPP paid into the reserve account, and what date?
Sorry, Councillor Buston, may I take that on, refer that to the director? The director of finance there? Oh, no, sorry, or somebody representing finance there?
Oi, I'm still here.
Hi, Natalie.
So, through the chair, I'm assuming that Councillor Buston is referring to the $40 million, 3.6 million. So, the 3.6 million from BHP is not required to be paid until June 2014.
Okay,
so the 2012-13 one is only the $40 million.
Okay.
And the 3.6 that is part of the lease fee for BHP. Is basically paid in arrears, so you will see financial statements that the invoice was raised. We're actually going to credit that because there's no requirement for them to pay at this point in time.
Councillor Butson, are you satisfied with that?
Yes, thank you.
No worries. Thanks very much, Natalie. Anyone else there? Sorry, Russell, anyone else other than...
Dr. Ken King, no? Is everyone... Sorry, everyone's been asked. Mm-hmm. Flo, were you asked? Yeah, so...
Okay, thank you very much. So with that done, we'll move on to item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. Can I have a show of hands? And Russell, can you confirm?
Yes, all hands, yeah.
And my hand's up as well, so...
Nine.
Thank you very much.
Nine zero.
The call. Move on to item 7, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Minutes of the airport meeting held on Wednesday 2nd, 2013 to be confirmed as true and correct course of the proceedings. May I please have a mover on that?
Move, Councillor Gillingham.
Yeah, move, Councillor Gillingham.
Thank you,
sir. Seconding, Councillor Hunt.
Thank you.
All those
in favour? Thank you.
And your hand is up, I assume?
My hand's up.
So it was 8-0, not 9. It was a counting error on my part, sorry.
Thank God you're not the finance officer. Okay. Item 8, announcements by presiding members without discussion. I have Neil at this meeting. I'm sure I'll have a lot more at the next one. let's move on to item 9, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. Item 9.1, Mr. Brett Rees, the Program Director of the Airport Development Redevelopment Update. Can we have your presentation, please? So I will be following it offline here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And hi, everyone. Good to see you all again. So today's presentation... We've done a little bit of background in the presentation as well for the benefit of new members. So just to put it all into a bit of context. Hopefully this works. Yes. So in terms of the overview, we'll do the Port Hedland International Airport overview, the redevelopment program to date, what's happening with the strategic reviews. We've had a series of workshops which are ongoing this week at the moment. We'll talk about the airport interim improvement program and then just a quick snapshot of the operational update. In terms of the airport, its vision is to be a modern and well-serviced airport that provides a welcoming gateway to the northwest. I think the key takeouts from this vision is that it's a modern, safe airport that's secure and fit for purpose that meets stakeholder expectations. They're the key important messages, I think, within that vision. The airport itself is actually up to about 515,000 passengers per annum. currently. It's continuing to grow, growing at a bit more moderate rate now than what it has done in the past. 70 flights per week directly from Perth and weekly from Brisbane and Melbourne, and the weekend service to Bali. The combination of RPT Airlines and General Aviation, and obviously our current retail cafe and mental hire vehicles being within the terminal building. So that's the basis, or the basis from which we're starting. Okay. Just to orientate everyone who is new and not familiar, that Terminal Precinct 1 is this precinct in here. Precinct 2 has our temporary workers accommodation campus for a year. Precinct 4, which is hopefully in the future, will have a large solar farm that will be servicing the town in the future. And Precinct 3 through here. Precinct 3 being the Kingsford precinct, the precinct that's largely providing a lot of the funding for the redevelopment program going forward. Developments to date. The master plan was finalised in 2011. It's a 20-year blueprint and provides a planning framework for the airport for its future development and to meet its long-term business needs. It identifies some challenges with the terminal, some landside and airside infrastructure issues that need improvement. It highlights the challenges of mining forecasting, and we've just gone through that exercise just recently of reforecasting the growth for the next 20 years. Quite interestingly, the scenarios are actually quite conservative compared to how we've grown to date, which I think just highlights, even though you apply all the science, that it's very difficult to forecast airport growth around the mining environment. There has been significant developments to date. I like to say it's the less sexy part of the airport. It's $15 million, but it's been spent on critical infrastructure, the taxiways, extensions, runway lighting, apron lighting towers, car park lighting, CCTV network, and paid parking has been introduced, and the various other upgrades that you see on that slide there. Apologies, Gloria, but I know you've got the slide in front of you.
Thank you.
Okay, the redevelopment projects. Oops. Sorry about that. It's a bit too quick on the trigger finger. This is really just a bit of a snapshot. These are the projects that have been considered by the committee in the past and have come out of the master plan as well. There's the logistics subdivision for the hire car in this zone through here, which is to cater for our seven hire car operations plus an additional operations. There's electrical upgrades in through here through the main power transformer.
Yes.
And there was the creation of a bus parking facility within here with the demolition of the air services building, the old air services building, which has taken place. Terminal expansion through here, car parking upgrades, and CCTV and lighting upgrades which have taken place. There's the operations building, the relocation of the operations building. So in terms of future planning and future growth planning, there's the operations building, which is currently in the zone through here, was planned to be relocated in this zone through here, which is where we've identified a location for the future common user international freight hub. Apron expansions, which are currently underway as we speak and near completion, and then there's a runway overlay and reseal to be undertaken commencing...
That's 16th, I think.
16th of this month. Mm. And then there's RESA repairs, which, if they're not completed, Bob, they're pretty close to being completed.
They're in progress now.
Yeah, they're in progress now. And then potentially a future wastewater treatment plant, depending on conversations that we're going to have with Water Corporation on connecting sewer and water to the airport, which could be a better outcome. So there are a lot of the key projects that are currently underway today. And just in terms of the interim program, which we will go into, as well as the projects, we've got the interim taxi zone, which has been completed. It's where the taxis are running now through the car park and picking up from the car park area. The interim bus parking facility, which is the old mobile site, which is those works have commenced and they're currently underway. We have the urge improvement program across through here. Extended secure area, and we'll talk about that in a bit more detail later on, and the terminal amenity, which is just a bit of a freshen up of the terminal as part of the interim programs. Strategic review. There was an opportunity to revisit and confirm the capital works program and priorities based on a range of reports and reviews that have been undertaken in the past. As part of the strategic reviews, we've done a review of the master plan and the original assumptions around the master plan, its land use planning, its aeronautical compliance. Largely the findings out of those is that it's still quite a relevant document. It's quite a well-written document. Apart from some minor amendments and some minor changes to that document, it still remains largely relevant in terms of its strategy. The terminal redesign, we've reviewed the terminal and come up with a couple of options for the review and redesign of the terminal. And the car parking and ground transport, we've looked at the logical growth path for that and how that might operate into the future. And indeed, we've come up with a couple of plans around that as well. And the freight logistics zone and how we might treat the freight hub and how it will connect to the what we call the RPT apron, the regular public transport apron, which is the airlines. And we're in the process with the consultation program with design reviews and placemaking workshops all happening this week. There we go. The project timeline on the strategic reviews. We've appointed a consultancy. The consultancy has completed the desktops reviews. We've had initial workshops, which were completed in September. We've had update papers prepared and concepts prepared, and they are in the process of being tabled again with our external workshops, which are currently underway at the moment, as we speak, in fact, this week. And with a view to finalising final concepts and final papers and bringing them to council for approval in December. So there's still a bit of a process to go, and these are works in progress, these plans, but they're meant to stimulate conversation and get lots of feedback and lots of input, and we're going through that process now. Here we go. Okay, so beyond the strategic freight logistics zone. Originally, the freight logistics zone and its timeline was to be early next year. We originally scheduled in the master plan review, the terminal and car parking reviews, and then we're going to move. And once we'd validated the land use planning within the master plan, we were then going to move into the freight zone. But based on early input and early feedback, we actually brought all of that forward. We've completed the desktop reviews, and that has now been included within this workshop that we're currently undertaking at the moment. And options will be analysed towards the end of November based on the feedback we get from those reviews. And when we go into the workshop, we'll certainly talk about the options that we've come up with. Final papers and concepts are to be presented and approval to council in December. And then we'll be seeking requests, proposals from operators to operate a common user international freight facility. That will take place early in next year with a view for design and construction starting early next year as well, moving through towards the end of next year. The car park and terminal design moving forward once the final concepts are approved. We will be moving into detailed design and costing programs. That will happen in the first and second quarter of next year. Tender and contract award is currently programmed for the third quarter of next year, with the terminal construction and car park construction starting from the fourth quarter of next year. With a view to having the car park works, or the majority of the car park works that we can do, the car park works will have to be staged due to the logistics of moving out, of moving out the car rental companies out of the way within the car park with the delivery of the freight and logistics zone. So there's a couple of pieces to the puzzle there. But currently that's how we've got the program laid out. The terminal would be completed and open for business by the end of 2015. It just goes off the slide there. The car park construction will be completed by mid-2015, all things being equal. Design and costing for the freight logistics zone. We've got plans already developed at this stage. They are under review at the moment. A business plan has been written for the logistics zone, but that is currently under review because of the inclusion of the freight area. But the intention would be to be out to tender and contract award in early 2015, with construction starting around the third quarter of 2015. Okay, the interim improvement program. So I'll take everyone through where we got to with the extended secure area, and within that extended secure area, it includes the cafe pass security, increases substantially the size of the departure lounge area, and it reduces the congestion around the screening point. So I'll take you straight into the diagrams because it's much easier to talk to a plan. So currently the screening point is sitting here, but this wall doesn't exist, and there are some walls through here, and basically this space through here, there is a facilities built through here, which you would call your primary line for your international services, which is closed off during domestic operations. So currently you've got a small space in here and a small space in here. What traditionally happens is everyone congregates and sits in the cafe here, waits for the final call, rushes to the screening point here, and then queues up and then comes in as quickly as they can into these areas here. The reason that they don't want to be in there early is they're too small. There's not enough seating and there are no toilet facilities or other amenities within that zone. So this does cause a lack of amenity, if you like. The experience isn't pleasant and the airlines don't particularly like it because it does affect their on-time performance. So by taking a wall across here, we are extending this pass-back arrangement and putting a couple of doors in here to make it a proper pass-back, so that it prevents people from coming back in without going through security. We can effectively cordon off this area. It does mean putting a bit of a cage around the outside area here, and how we treat that and design that has been considered so that it's aesthetically pleasing. And that allows us to have an outside area that you can't pass sharps into, so it still sits post-security. By creating a space through here, reorganising the queuing through here, we can manage the queue through here. But it does take the pressure off the queue because people tend to arrive in a more orderly fashion, they complete their check-in process, and they will move straight into queuing for security because the cafe and everything's in here, and the area now involved is much larger. We actually demolish this building, this facility here, and we create, we actually use this as our single point for immigration, inwards immigration and outwards immigration. So that's, and there's a couple more diagrams, so I'll show you how that works. So essentially, there's been a number of iterations. A couple of iterations that we looked at involved taking all the toilets out through here, putting them outside here, really opening up this space. We looked at that as part of this whole process, this review of these interim works. That became $2.5 million. It was too expensive given that we were actually replacing the terminal. So we had to go back and revisit all of these works and scale it back. Do something that works, something that caters for the 510,000 passengers per annum, and something that still caters for the 5,000 international passengers as well. So basically this is, as I said, demolished. This now creates this large space, this large area through here, in which we can grab substantial capacity going forward. So this buys us the time we need while we're undertaking our development program for the new terminal facilities. And improves the amenity. As I said, it improves on-time performance for airlines and the like. So people can simply be called to board straight from here, and they can come to these gates through here. I will just highlight this X-ray machine through here. As this is now a domestic operation and screening has been undertaken domestically, product and everything within the cafe has not been screened for international services. So we do need to deal with post-domestic screening, which is your LAGS process, which is good aerosol and your gels. So we do need a second screening facility, but it's just screening for gels. You don't have to walk through a metal detector. That's already been done. But it's just an additional process for the international services. So I'll just talk to that.
Before you go off there, so can you still go to the toilet? So you can go to the cafe and bar.
Yeah, they're all here. So the architects have just drawn a green line around the usable departures area, but yeah, all of those toilets are in that area. Yeah. And in fact, if I go to the next one, the usable area in here is actually all in here. So that line there is a bit wrong, but I'll explain that in a second. So internationally, you come in the same way as you normally come in. This is still post-screening. You can still sit in the cafe here. And so you don't have to go through screening. You've now dropped that step out of having to go through screening before your international operations. What we've done now is we've now pulled the X-ray unit out. It sits here. Your bags are just going through that purely for liquids, aerosols and gels. And then you move into this primary line through here, in which you go either side of the customs facilities, and you come into this area through here. Now, we are knocking out the wall through here. We are expanding this area through here. And we're actually going to use these processing tables as tables for the passengers to use as well within this facility through here. And we're going to have portable mobile seating through here for the departures experience. So the current departures area is in here. The area that we actually grab through here is actually this area through here. So it's actually larger, but it's just the configuration of it isn't ideal. This is a compromised situation. It does give us more space. It does allow, and we have taken the border agencies through it, so we do have agreement with them to actually operate in this fashion. What we're trying to do, I guess, is improve the experience for the majority of domestic passengers without compromising the experience for the international passengers. We tried really hard to actually improve the international experience, but the costs associated with that were just too expensive in this interim phase. But this does buy us some time to improve, substantially improve the facilities. Okay, so that's the operation there. And if we just quickly go to this. In terms of inwards, we still need to have a space for queuing so we can get people off the apron as quickly as possible. Now, that wall could actually be here, so it could be bigger that way, or it could even come out here, so it could be bigger that way. So I was here on the weekend, and I physically watched the international processing just to get an idea of what the queuing looked like going out and what it looked like coming in. And that space there will need to be bigger, and I think it just needs to come that way. But we have that option to actually do that. So what we do is we have some races that we put through here. We just bring them straight in, and they can start the run through here, and through the primary line, once again, this same direction, pick up the bags, and then go through the customs and quarantine process just through here. This desk could actually move down through here, and we've spoken to them about doing that, just to stagger this operation so it's easier to move around. And that allows them to come out this way. We have created an airlock through here. We've actually had to do that because we've needed to put in a fire exit through here, and through consultation through OTS, Office of Transport Security, they were very uncomfortable with a fire exit to the outside world from a secure screened point, much more comfortable if it was in an airlock environment. So it's just some of the things that we've had to do just to accommodate them. Where are we at to date? At to date, those plans have been finalised. We're just waiting for final scoping to be completed so that we can go out and get quotes from builders. In the interim, we've asked OTS to review the plans, review our proposed operations, and come back to us and give us their list of things that we need to attend to so that we can get approval to proceed. And we're currently waiting on them to come back to us on that as well. We actually had a quicker timeline. I'll just see if I can move to the program. So we've done the internal consultation, and we've developed the project specs through here, so that all happened quite early in the piece. There was some ongoing designs through this structural drawing area here, and stakeholder consultation with external stakeholders, with the OTS and the like, has been ongoing. With airlines, airlines are very comfortable with this as well. They're very supportive of us moving to this operation, and we've spoken to MSFs as well in terms of the increased potential increased time for the screening of it as well. So what we're waiting on now, and we're hoping for, is to get principally the OTS approval through here, and our DA application completed as well in this area here. Procurement through here, and construction starting in mid-December through here, with the area opening early next year. We'd actually hoped to have it opened in November. But as I said, initial plans proved too expensive, and then we were going to do it internally as well with internal staff to try and fast track it, but in the end we had to take it out just for the additional expertise to get that done. So that's where we are at with the increased secure area. Are there any questions?
With the moving of the walls, what about the stained glass panels? What's happening with those?
They will be. They're going to be relocated to here. We even toyed with backlighting them or something like that to highlight them. Mm-hmm. And we're going to include them within the new terminal facilities as well.
It does seem as if they're not all there from when it was originally moved. So are there a few in storage somewhere?
No, I don't think so. I think they're all there. They seem to tell the complete picture.
Brett, before you move on, are there any other questions in around the design of the new security area that from the committee members and the timeline?
Just had a quick query, Brett. The disabled toilets, are they separate to the other toilets in terms of access?
They are. Where are we?
The top right inside.
Yeah,
on the outside.
They are outside the area, yeah. at this stage. We did toy with some work in here, but it's very hard to move the comms room in here. The it fits within code, but they are outside the secure area.
I just have one question. With the revamp and the change, what's the cost factor for what you've got projected there, compared to the 2.5?
We're actually waiting on final scoping so we can get that costed accurately, Madam Chair, but I'm thinking it's around the $300,000, probably a little bit over. We have had a quotation for $440,000, but that had a little bit more complexity in it. This is a simplified version of what we originally had costed. So we've actually had three iterations bringing those costs down and making sure it still functionally works. The other iteration we had costed for $440,000 had the Virgin Lounge moving and moving over here. But as it turns out, we can actually manage that post. From talking to ITS, no problem with them actually being post-security. When this is in operation, Virgin staff would have to go through screening, but there is a door here, which is a securely locked door, which they can use outside of ours. And it's no different to what actually happens today. MSS simply does a screen of the area, a search and inspection of the area for sharps, and then basically then you lock it down and say it's secure and away you go.
So just a lot of stuff in terms of rental people and whatever else, that I always have to go through the security to go to the toilets?
No, there's toilets all down here.
All right, okay.
Yeah. So there's toilets down near the arrivals area.
Okay.
The other thing probably to note about this, and we've had a bit of a look at this, your only cafe is now post-screening, but we've looked at the area just where Karratha Flight Services is, and there's an area there where we could put a mobile cafe with some seating. And we could actually create a nice little cafe area, which will actually be near the arrivals area as well. So it could actually serve two purposes.
That was one of the things that came out of the community consultation that obviously was a question that the community was asking for those people that didn't go through the screen.
Yeah, and that's what made me go back and revisit it and have a look
at it.
Just another comment on that point there too. Once your approvals are obtained, I think it's pretty important that we show, we have a lot of information at the airport as to what's happening, and also a lot of communication to the public, because there was a comment last night about, in particular at the night before, regarding the fact that the cafe was not going to be accessible. So, lots of great communicative storyboards at the airport to show them what's going to happen, and really that it's only an interim phase would be really helpful, I think.
Yeah, no, good idea, Chairman.
Brett, I think also perhaps it'd be good early on in the piece to touch base with Headland Community Living Association or Joan Foley, just to let them know about the interim nature of the works, and I just think best to go to them first and tell them what's happening rather than them have a bad experience in Crackham, and it's in the paper.
So
we can prioritise that. That'd be good.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Good thought, Sally. Any more questions before Brent moves on to the next step?
Can I just just in the existing male or female toilets? I know they're both. Well, I know the males haven't been in the females, but would there be a possibility of putting a disabled in there, taking one toilet out?
We have looked at it. The difficulty is with this width through here.
Ah, right.
You could take a piece off here. I just recall that it was going to get quite costly and quite difficult to actually do.
Is that the mother's room?
We'd be compromising the mother's room. That was one of the issues as well.
So, can a disabled toilet go in the mother's room?
Possibly, we could actually probably. We'd have to take the corner off, because it's the width of the door. We have to actually make it quite a wide door, and it currently it's just not wide enough in that zone through there.
You probably need to look at that. I think I need to look at that. There's probably enough in the door frame to get a wheelchair through.
Okay.
To get in there, and then just widen one of the other structures.
We'll revisit that. Initially, we just thought there wasn't enough width in the
door. Because most restaurants these days seem to double up with a mother's room and a disabled, so it doesn't seem to be. Would it be fine to have something like that?
I'll have a talk about it.
Yes, could solve the problem.
Yeah. All right.
So are we still in discussion?
So we're going to revisit in regards to the disabled toilet access and look at opportunities.
Fantastic.
Britt, has there been, picking up on Gloria's comments, has there been an overarching communication strategy developed?
For this?
Or is there going to be?
Yes, there's going to be. Okay. Yes. Yes, no, we've been discussing it, but we haven't developed anything specific.
I think that's imperative that that occur, for sure. You'll bring something back to us at the next meeting around the communication strategy?
Yes, yep, okay, we'll do that.
Yep, you can include that. Okay, if everyone's happy, let's move on to the next next slide.
Okay, can we done that one? Okay, so now I'll just touch on the interim improvement program in terms of the terminal amenity and the shelters and the landscaping. The update there is the shelters got DA approval, I think it was last week from memory, and so we can now move forward and install those shelters and then complete the landscaping. Building licence. Russell's just clarifying, we're just doing the building licence and then we're away.
I think it's approved. Yeah, it's correct.
I'm getting a thumbs up, Chairman, so it's approved.
I'm hoping that given that we are the approvers, I'm hoping that we get a little bit of specification.
And it is our staff that will be doing the works as well.
It's nothing less, don't we, Committee? Okay, sorry. Fantastic. Carrying on?
Okay. All right. So basically approvals are now completed. Procurement and construction, that's all the process now, and by mid-November we're hoping to have those works completed. In terms of the amending terminal, we've talked about actually doing a bit of an internal staff busy bee and looking at painting the terminal and the like. Once again, all down to budgets and how we might approach that. We have had quotations to have the terminal painted just to lift it during this interim period, but the costs were quite prohibitive. It was amazing what it cost to paint. It was big, large areas of roof and walls and the like. Yeah. So we haven't quite worked that one out yet, but we just think that might be another approach. So, Mayor Kelly, we could get you on a paintbrush, could we?
Yes, of course.
Working bee.
School kids.
But the bus holding facilities, there's the terminal here. There's the ex-mobile site through here. Works have commenced on that. We've had some consultation meetings with bus operators and the like. So this will remove all the FIFO buses from across the front of the terminal here, and they will then park in here. They were quite supportive, and it was quite a useful session of consultation. But interestingly, the bigger buses, it's illegal for them to reverse without a spotter, and so we had to configure the parking so that they don't have to reverse and things like that. So quite interesting. Some issues that we came up with, this will all become part of the car park, so what we spend in here is not wasted, it becomes part of the bigger car park later on. But we came up with the high water table, didn't we, Russell?
Yes, I was just checking the... We've had to... we're going to cement stabilise the base course because of the water table, so it was just a bit of a change in the work, so it's pushed back on the asphalting, and the asphalting is now mid-November, because they're going to do the apron works, go away, do some other stuff, come back and do the bus.
Do the bus stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep, hopefully that reflects that. So finished towards the end of November. Yeah. Yep, open November, December.
Cool. Next slide.
Oh. Okay, operational updates. We formed a PAG, a Pilba Airports group. interestingly, there are several PAGs within the airports, the AAA. There's the Privatised Airports Group and there's the Public Affairs Airports Group. So we formed our own PAG, and basically it's a collaboration between Newman Airport, Karratha Airport and Port Hedland Airport to keep everything at arm's length and making sure that we're dealing with matters of mutual interest and not matters of competition. So let's just put it that way. We've convened it with the Australian Airports Association. a guy by the name of Scott, who will chair that that group going forward. Currently we're the organisers and we currently run it, but we've introduced the Australian Airport Association into that group. And we deal with matters such as security screening, the transition from Qantas to the airport as the screening authority. The update there is that Qantas want us to take this over by March to May. Thank you, Bob. 1st of May 2014. We've agreed an interim approach to allow us to take it on so that we can go to tender and get a more permanent contract arrangement within our normal procurement processes. So we've agreed with Qantas that we will buy their equipment. They initially wanted a couple of $1,000s for all of their equipment. It's 10 years old. It's past its use-by date. We're just waiting for OTS's approval for us to do that. We were concerned about the disposal of that equipment because there is some radioactive elements within the X-ray. We've now got confirmation through Karratha Airport of the costs of disposal of that equipment, and it's $2,000 to $3,000. So we've agreed with Qantas that we will buy all their roller beds, all their chairs, X-ray units, walk-through metal detectors, platform we own, for $200, and we will be responsible for disposal. And we're seeking approval from OTS to use that as an interim arrangement for 3 to 6 months, which will allow us to complete our TSP and our application. Principally, our application is the most important. Which Bob is looking at the moment, so that's our application to become a screening authority. It's a bit of a catch-22. You actually have to nominate the equipment that you're proposing to use, but if you're tendering for equipment, you need the approval. So this allows us to miss that step. And MSS has provided us a quote for a 12-month period to provide services, and we're going to check our procurement processes to make sure that we can do that. Just a short-term arrangement to allow us to have them continue as the screening service provider so that we can then go through a proper process of tendering for screening services and for screening equipment. So we're looking at giving ourselves another 6 months post that date to allow us to do that. It will all ultimately be cost recoverable through a per passenger charge as a security charge through the airlines. And just in terms of the apron works, asphalting has commenced, but not yet completed, as Russell just noted. And what date do you think it's completed by?
So far, the asphalting the apron.
Moved around a little bit.
Moved around a bit. There's been a bit of adjustment because of the rain in Newman sort of put it back a week, but it should be completed still about mid-November.
Yeah.
Which actually won't be that bad because it'll probably time
with the bus one.
Yeah. So the timing's going to tie in quite well.
And the runway reshoots mid-December.
Yeah, that's
right. And you'll see from the workshops as well how that ties in with the other works that we're doing in terms of aircraft operations as well. Interestingly, the water table was a massive issue, which has not hindered the works, but made them more complex, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we double installed tile drains outside them to divert the water away into a septic tank, and from there it's a water level pump that just pumps it out onto a spray field.
Yeah, so we have a pump flowing pretty much 24 hours a day to keep the water table down under the apron. Otherwise, it could compromise the apron. So interesting how high it is. And apart from that, I think that's probably me, unless there's any questions.
Through you, Madam Chair, I'd just ask Brett the question in terms of the PAG. Does that conclude the Shire of Ashburton and Paraburdoo and Onslow?
No, not at this stage.
Not at this stage.
But it can do. There's no problem with that at all.
Okay.
That would make sense to include all of
Onslow in particular, in terms of their purchasing screening equipment now, I understand, and obviously Paraburdoo is operational.
I was going to say Onslow had expressed an interest in being part of the group, and there's no issue with that.
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ken. That's good. Any other questions or comments on Brett's presentation from the committee and others?
Could I get a printout of the timeline slides? I really like them.
Yeah. Brett, can you make them available to all the committee members and others there?
That'd be good.
Thank you. Brett, that was great. Thanks very much. It looks like there's going to be a lot of change happening over the mid-November to September airport, so people are going to physically start seeing some work happening, and that will cause great joy, I'm sure, to the community. So well done to yourself and the airport team out there. Good job.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, moving along to the next item.
International Freight Hub, we are looking at finalising concepts by the end of this year, and we would be looking at going into finalising a revisit of design and a revisit of the business plan, which I mentioned has been written, and then we would be being at the council in January, Feb, for approval.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other points of clarification?
No points,
yes, I see a hand.
Thank you. I'll have somebody call in for who moves and seconds it.
Through the chair, just in clarification on the International Freight Hub, we do have Silver Cargo Terminal, who have now had their customs license granted, so they're operating out of an area within the airport operations workshop, and basically they're just waiting for their first international flight.
So that's an interim operation, and then as Brett mentioned, we'll be moving to the front row as part of the
logistics.
Thank you,
Anna.
So
we have a mover and a seconder.
I'll move, Julie,
Councillor Hunt.
Mover,
Councillor
Hunt. Seconded.
I second.
Same, Dr. King.
Thank you. All in favour? Thank you very much. Do we have a... Is that 8 love? Because my hand's up.
8? Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, moving on to 10.2, Port Hedland International Airport Committee meeting dates and times. We have the officers' recommendations on page 19. Thank you very much. So, did we have any points of clarification there? Any questions?
Do you actually set dates?
I'd
like to...
I have a point of clarification, if possible. So, I know we've noted that the airport meetings are on the first weekdays of every month. Is there a reason why we can't have it on the same day as the weekdays of the OCM?
Through the chair, we may run over a little bit later, and then we have other concept forums coming on the Wednesday afternoon, so it could make it a little bit too tight. So if we've got presentations, so perhaps that might not work.
Okay. On the chair, you actually require to set your own dates and times, so you need to set which day of the week and also which week of the month and then the time. We always have the airport committee back-to-back with the concept forums that we have scheduled on the first Wednesday of the month, so we can always move it to the fourth Wednesday, so it's back-to-back with the concept forum that will be scheduled right before the OCM, or you could also have it on the same day as the agenda briefing session, which is the third Wednesday, so it's entirely up to you, and if anyone has any prior work commitments or anything like that.
Through the chair, I think we structured it this way originally so that there was plenty of time to work through the process of the agenda items of the airport committee, so then it came to the OCM towards the end of the month, I believe. Is that right?
That's right.
So it was working much better.
Yeah.
I think we sort of needed that.
So with the new governance framework, sometimes it will not actually meet up depending on when the first
Well, thank you for that clarification. Is everyone happy with the first Wednesday of every month and that, and the officers' time showing as recommended there?
Yes.
Okay, so if that's the case, then I have somebody to move and second that recommendation.
I'll move.
Can you call your name out? Because
Serge. Serge moves.
Who's Serge? Second up?
Chloe,
second.
Thanks, Chloe. All in favour?
Yes.
Okay. So, Chairman, are we just to confirm where the times are those reflected in on page 18 of the report?
That's right.
Yep.
And with the note that if you are in trouble, then you are able to apply or have a conference.
So that going in the recommendation? Sorry, through the chair, that just will have to be included in the recommendation? No?
Well, I think it's probably a good thing to include, given that the nature of the at the moment by the
didn't catch that.
No, I'm just saying, are you happy to have a point three where it identifies that committee members can telephone into the meeting?
Through the chair, the legislation, I think, is from memory quite specific about the fact that it has to be a council resolution. Committees can't make resolutions to allow members to teleconference in, I don't believe.
Right. Is that only for councillors or is that for everyone on the committee?
Councillors and committees are the same, essentially.
Okay.
So they have the same rules, essentially.
All right, so the status quo remains if you are unavailable to physically attend, you will ask for
Could
a leave.
Council do an ad hoc recommendation on those days that the committee meets?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Chairman, just as a suggestion for a future report, the committee could recommend and council could resolve that capacity is afforded to each one of the airport committee meeting dates, so we don't have to do it individually each time?
Fantastic. That sounds like a great plan, Director. Can we make a note of that for the next agenda, please?
Yeah.
So we're happy with the recommendation of 19 as reflected in page 18, and we have a mover and a seconder, mover and third and seconder and floor and up five.
Yep.
So can I move on to item 11? Are there any late items? I haven't got anything here. I'm assuming there's none tabled. Okay, thank you. So there being nil. Item 12, motions have been given. There being nil, we'll move on to item 13. Confidential items, there are nil again. Item 14, applications for leave of absence.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. Jane Gillingham, for 16th of November through to the 21st of November. I may be away those days. Thank you.
Councillor Julie Hunt, I'll be a leave of absence from the 10th of November to the 12th of December and the 20th of December to the 27th of December.
Thank you, Julie. Anyone else?
Mayor Howlett will be away from the 12th of the 11th to the 12th of the 12th.
Ooh, are you allowed that long of period?
Yes, even allowed longer.
Gee, that was just vacating the building, all right. anyone else?
I'm on leave from the... It's Ken King. I'm on leave from the 16th of December through to returning to work on the 5th of January, which shouldn't impact on anything.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, Serge. I'm away from the 3rd of December and back on the 2nd of January.
Any more? Okay, I just noted that there's a couple of absentees from our committee over the first week of December, so we might have to review that date and sort of alter that date.
The deputies can come.
I feel the chair, the deputies could come in.
The deputy, oh, you're absolutely right. That's right. You're absolutely right. Thanks for that reminder. Okay, well, that's cool and groovy then. The only problem with the deputies coming in is that I've got notice here that the December meeting is going to be pretty important for the project timelines, where there's a lot of strategic reviews happening on those workshops and recommendations. So it might still be a consideration, but I'll just highlight that at this moment.
Through the chair, can we have two meetings in November?
That certainly could be a consideration. I'm sorry, I'd have to refer that to the director or somebody in there that knows better than I.
Last day of November.
Two of us are still away.
So we can hold a special airport committee meeting?
Cool. That's good.
So
all right.
I might have to do that.
Well, let's investigate that if we'll maybe discuss that offline and assess the requirements for that. Okay, so...
Just one moment.
Just one sec, Laurie.
Sorry.
Given that we're saying the first week of the month, technically then we would have an airport committee meeting next Wednesday, being the first week of November. And then we need to consider whether we have one on the first week in January, given that there's that Christmas closure period, and I will be here to prepare agenda.
maybe it's a good thing if we review those leaves of absence compared to what the scheduled dates are as we've adopted tonight, and maybe then you shoot all the committee members and staff the information and see what might work, so that we can get an understanding of what the scheduled meetings are compared to what we might need to change. The January ones are definite, I do, and then the November, December ones will be
January will be the 1st of January.
Yeah, and we can't wait those strategic reviews for January, because that will affect the project timeline.
Also, through the chair, while we're checking those dates, could we also acknowledge Mr. Arnold Carter and Mr. Bill Zombach, who were members on our committee, and what we'd like to sort of do for that. And also, with that, I know that I made a note of what Mr. Graham Campbell said to us over the long weekend about having people who have knowledge of what's been going on in our town over the years. So we have a wealth of knowledge in Mr. Arnold Carter, especially as he was granted a freeman of the town in 1997, but also his valuable information together with the airport. So I'm just wondering if we could take that on board, and if the possibility comes where there is a position that comes on board to have an extra person on the committee, it could be very well in our best interest to have somebody like Mr. Carter back on board.
Thank you, Councillor Dillingham. You've just stolen my thunder. But no, you're absolutely right, and certainly I was going to make mention of the services of both Arnold Carter as the previous presiding member and the deputy Bill Zombach for their roles and their contribution to the airport committee, and certainly remind everyone that there is actually an event that's being held by the town of Port Hedland, which was to be the 7th of November, but now will be the 10th of November, and I think it would be an opportune time for the airport committee to recognise their services at that event formally as well. So I'm not sure what is the standard process, but whether there's a plaque or something or other that gets attributed to them to recognise their contributions to the committee indeed. So I'm open to recommendation on that, but certainly, Jan, I acknowledge your comments and certainly it would be remiss of us not to pay to acknowledge the amount of time that they they spend on the committee and the contributions they've made.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No worries. Russell Natalie, is it possible that does the committee have the capacity to do something like that, you know, to buy either a present, something that commemorates their services?
Sorry. Yes, I'd imagine so. Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. The dates were just, sorry,
Item 14,
Airport Committee decision, and this is for the Friday, the December meeting and the January meeting being, Council won't be back at till the 5th of January, I think. So we've just got two dates, that the Airport Committee meet on the Friday, the 13th of December, and then the next meeting would be on Wednesday, the 15th of January.
How's the rest of the committee feeling about that? Does that suit well?
January, yeah.
All right. So if you just change those.
Need to move for a seconder.
Yeah, I'll move.
Mayor Cahill, the second and surge.
Thank you. All in favour? Eight love. Thank you very much.
I'll move to me.
I'll second it. Mm-hmm.
Show him.
8-0. Okay. Okay, so are we comfortable with 5.1, the date of the next meeting? Okay, so this is still, what date will the next meeting be? Still be the November meeting?
This is the November meeting. This is the November meeting, so the next meeting will be Friday the 13th of December.
Okay, Friday the 13th of December, thank you very much. Okay, with that acknowledgement of the services of Arnold, Carter and Bill Zombeck, I've got nothing else to say. So there being no further business, my clock is saying 1:38. Would that be right, that the meeting is closed up?
Yes.
Okay, look, thank you, everybody.